Seven Lions and Excision teamed up for a collab. Swedish House Mafia show causes $4 million in damage. And why am I so pissed about the water situation at Izu? All this and more on this week's episode of Beyond the Beats. Let's go. Up, listeners of Beyond the Beats, thank you guys so much for joining us for episode 29. Seriously appreciate you guys coming back to us and making us a part of your daily lives. Truly means a lot to us. I'm so sorry if my voice sounds a little bit hoarse. I've just been at Izu for the past 2 days, and then after we finish recording the podcast, I'm gonna head over for Izu day 3. But guys, I'm located here in New York City, and we got my boy Alec Prieto out there in San Francisco. Yo, what's up? How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, man, but to be honest, I don't know how you're doing it. I don't know how you're recording now. You've got some real commitment to our listeners, I think.
Dude, these past 2 days at Izu have truly been incredible, man. And I'm really, really excited to go into a deep dive recap like next week when we do our next episode, episode 30. But I'll tell you guys a little bit about my experience so far at Izu. It's honestly been a really, really great weekend. It's given me a lot of energy, and it's just been truly, truly amazing. We'll get into it in a little bit. But before we get into it, yo, this song is my on repeat. It has been the anthem in my apartment, like, literally for the past week. Everybody loves this song, and listeners, you guys have to hear this one. This is the Alok remix of Medusa's Piece of Your Heart. Take a listen.
What? Sorry, just quickly. What if it's... Da, 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 down, down, down.
Perfect summer vibes, man. Perfect summer vibes. This is a summer vibe song, if you know what I mean.
Totally, totally agree with you, bro. And I just love the part in this song where he's like, oh, sorry, hold on 1 second. Wait, why don't you do this part? You're British. Can you repeat that line?
Well, oh, sorry, hold on a second.
I don't even sorry, know hold on a second. What if it's... Da, 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 yeah. Da, da. No, it's amazing, so amazing song.
Do you prefer it over the original?
I do. I do prefer it over the original. Ah. And, the original is really, really great. But the Alok remix just gives it that extra oomph. You know what I mean? Like, I think mm-hmm. I texted you earlier this week as it became my on repeat, you know, back on Monday. And I told you, I was like, dude, this remix did a really good job of just giving it, like, that extra kick, which I really, really appreciate about what Alok did here. But even the original is good, too. And my roommates, they prefer the original. I prefer the Alok remix. But... no matter what, dude, it is a dope, dope song.
Your roommates, so they're not very happy when you're playing this out all the time in your apartment.
Dude,
then.
Honestly, everybody just wants to sing along to this song. Like, it doesn't even matter like which true. Version of this song that I play, but they definitely prefer the original, I don't give a shit. So,
great roommate you are.
So, guys, let's get into it. Let's go over what we're going to be talking about here, right? We got some new music from the artists that we're watching here. We got some new recently released music from Dylan Francis, Seven Lions, Anna, who we're big fans of on the show, Habstract, Chris Lorenzo. It's going to be ridiculous. I'm going to go over my time so far at Izu. I'll tell you guys about, you know, what it's like and just my thoughts on it. Then we're going to be talking about Swedish House Mafia. And at one of their most recent shows, they caused a lot of damage to the stage. So we're going to be talking about that. Then we're going to get into a little bit of discussion about daytime parties versus nighttime parties. What's better? What's more popular? We'll get into that, right? We're talking about Groove Cruise Miami. We're talking about some moves that Insomniac is making on one of the most famous clubs in Miami. Then we're diving into the anti-plur moment, and then we're going to get into the what are we listening to section. We got some great selections here, and actually we're including music in this section from one of the artists that we were watching from one of our earlier episodes. So we're very excited for this artist. He's come a really, really long way, and this EP that he just dropped is incredible, so we can't wait to get into it. And then, of course, the artist that we're watching. Guys, so excited to be here with you all. Like, seriously... I'm like, I like woke up this morning, and obviously after 2 days of festival, you're feeling a little bit tired, but like I woke up this morning and I jumped out of bed and I just could not wait to get over here to record this podcast, talk to you guys, talk to Alex. So let's just get right into it. Okay. New music from the artist that we're watching, Koos. The song is called Switch Up, and dude, this title for the song is pretty accurate. He really switched up his style, I feel like. What did you think?
Man, I was just going to say the exact same thing.
I got to it first.
You got to it first, man. We're on the same wavelength there. Agreed with you, man. I was surprised with it, you know, but really shouldn't be. I know that Koos throughout his, all of his releases throughout his time as coming up as an up-and-coming DJ, he's actually switched it up every now and then, right? I mean, all of his releases have that kind of bass house type of feel, but he really does try and switch it up, I feel like. And the song
right on.
Certainly is a switch up. Yeah, what do you think, man? I liked it. To be perfectly honest, it was one of my favorite of his releases.
Yeah.
I really did enjoy it, though, but then that might also just be my, you know, sky-high expectations talking about him now, right? And so, relatively, I guess, I don't like this versus
Absolutely. Otherwise. Absolutely. No, he definitely is showing a little bit of diversity here in his sound, and I really, really like his darker house sound. You know what I mean? Like, just like those pounding kicks and like those really dark, deep saw synths that he uses, and he does a really good job with that sound. It was really cool to get like a new sound from him on this song, Switch Up, but it didn't really necessarily hit all the marks for me. But you know what, always appreciate when artists do something new, so shout out to Koos on this one, man. You're doing it, and just keep getting experimental, man. That's how we all learn and grow as artists, so good for you.
Totally,
dude. Moving on to Party Favor. Duke and Jones actually just did a remix of Party Favor's song, Reach For Me.
I love this, man. I don't know about you. I really, really liked this.
Duke and Jones really actually did a nice job with this remix of Party Favor's song, Reach For Me. The only thing is, like, I'm just not a big fan of the original song, okay. Reach For Me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I can appreciate Duke and Jones just putting their spin on it and, you know, making it their own. I really appreciated that.
I could see this as being a really nice opening song. Could you feel that? I could kind of feel maybe... And maybe I was appreciating it from that perspective too. I could kind of see Duke and Jones coming onto it or something like that.
Like how it would fit in a set, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. So good thoughts there.
I think that's really the perspective I was looking at it from. In a vacuum, I enjoyed it, and I agree with you. The original song is not my favorite. But just me imagining, like, you know, say if I were putting this into a set or they were, I would really like this song as being part of the set. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, it's one of those songs.
I can totally see what you're saying. I feel
really
like this would pop off.
Yeah,
live.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Dude, okay, cool. No, I can definitely appreciate that. And if we're talking from that perspective, then yeah, this is a really, really dope song fit into a set. I'll be honest with you. I like the Duke and Jones remix more than the original.
Me too.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Yo, new music from Dylan Francis. He's got this song called Go Off, and then in parentheses, Nothing To It. This song goes off.
It does.
And I love the cover art.
Yeah, me too. I was shocked. Were you shocked by this? I was a little surprised.
Yeah. Very, very shocked. Yeah. Absolutely, bro. Absolutely. But we're seeing this trend in a lot of electronic music these days where artists are going a bit more housey. You know, artists that were once not doing the house thing, they're now doing it. And I can appreciate that, man. I'm really happy to see how much house is starting to really take off out here in the United States. What do you think?
I agree, man. House is just definitely becoming a movement. It's a real wave right now in the US, in the electronic music scene, which is, you know, fantastic for someone like me. You know, I mean, I'm a huge lover
of house. You're a house head.
I am. I know. I kind of embraced it the other week, and I was like, crap, fine. Most of the music I'm downloading now.
What? There's nothing wrong with that. Why would you say crap?
No. It's more just like I just never really thought of myself that way. But then I realized just pretty much all the music I'm listening to nonstop and downloading is going to be predominantly house. And
right on.
And maybe that's just how I'm feeling right now. But I want to try and diversify it a bit. But then, you know, I love House, so I can't. It's really hard to. But
totally, bro.
I agree with you, man. What I find interesting is that this is something I would have expected him to release under his DJ Hansel alias.
That is actually a really, really interesting point. It's something that I had never thought about before when it came to this song. But at the same time, I think DJ Hansel is just more of a joke thing that he's doing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he's necessarily taking that all that seriously. Like, you've seen the videos, right?
Oh, totally, totally. But I mean, I think it's just interesting because the songs that he's released under DJ Hansel and the sets that he does is much more in line with this. I just was assuming that this was his outlet to do more house music type of stuff, right?
Interesting.
You know, maybe it is more of a joke than I thought it was then, but it just seems to me, to be perfectly honest, I think he would be smarter if he did it that way. Because I don't know if a lot of his fans right now would really be that into this.
That is so interesting. Man, okay, it's something I never thought about. But, you know, man, I think Dylan Francis knew what he was doing when he was putting this song out. Like, I'm sure maybe he had that internal discussion. Like, maybe I should just release this as DJ Hansel, you know what I mean? But maybe he is trying to take his sound to the house side of things, you know what I mean? But that's the thing, like, I think that fans of electronic music are becoming more and more accepting of artists doing this. You know what I mean?
That's
because
true.
I tell you what, man, a lot of the sets at Izu this year on the main stage had a lot of house music in them, man, which is something I was really, really shocked to see. And I'll get into it in a little bit, but I don't think it's really going to be that big of a deal when fans of Dylan Francis listen to it for the first time. I think some people will be like, oh, this is sick, and some people will be like, no, it's not for me. You know, it's like, dude, it's like that song EDM O'Clock, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It wasn't Moomba, it wasn't trap, it wasn't future bass, it was like, it had a 4-to-the-floor beat to it, and I think people really like that song a lot. And I think that he's now just like, okay, I kind of tested the waters with EDM O'Clock, the song they did with TV Noise, and now he's going to jump into it with this song that he just did, Go Off.
Yeah, okay, I can see what you're saying. I guess just the angle I'm coming at it from is I found it very difficult recently to tell which direction he's moving in. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, interesting.
And
yeah.
You know, I to be honest, maybe it's also the fact that I kind of want him to go back to his old Moomba days. Right when
I would love,
you know,
that.
And I just feel like, and maybe this is part of the point, but I feel like he's almost being a little too erratic with his releases, right? In terms of the sound and the style of them, to the point where it's now like I really don't know what the Dylan Francis brand is, other than the fact that he's funny and like I get that, but maybe it's a little bit too much. Unless this is the new direction he's taking it. Do you see what I'm trying to get at here?
Because I see what you're saying, but I think Dylan Francis is just one of those artists in the scene that you really cannot put the pin down and figure out what he's doing. I mean, the man carries around a fucking pinata, for Christ's sake. You know what I mean? Like, it's impossible to tell what he's going to do.
That's true, but
you know?
I worry about the sets, though, because to be perfectly honest, it's been so hit or miss seeing him.
Yeah, that is an excellent point. Yeah, when we saw him at Halloween, yeah, it was like, it was an alright set, dude.
See?
It wasn't all that great.
But I feel like that's because he's like, he's taking all these different styles, and I get it, but it's like almost a little bit too much for one.
Okay.
So I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I don't mean to be a sourpuss about it because I really like the song, by the way. So I should just come out and say that I actually really, really like the song. And I hope he does more stuff like this. I guess really this is more me saying I think he's got a lot of talent in house and I think he should be doing more of it. Right. So hopefully this is going to be his new sound coming forward. And it'd be cool if he could throw in some Moomba in there too, right?
I think we just kind of need to keep an eye on what Dylan Francis is going to get onto next.
True.
You know what I mean? I think it might be a little bit too early to tell.
Yeah. So we'll have to see. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll put a pin in it.
For sure. But let's flip it to the other side, right? We got Seven Lions, Excision, Wooly, and they collab with Dylan Matthews, the vocalist on this song. And it's called Another Me. First of all, wow. Seven Lions and Excision coming together. The bass heads are going absolutely crazy for this shit right now, man. It was just dropped this past Friday. And, you know, it's a good song, dude.
It's a
really, really good song.
It's a great song.
I mean, goddamn. Sometimes, for me, Excision's music can just get a little bit too, you know, just samey. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's got the same kind of rhythm to it the whole time. But I love that Seven Lions and Excision teamed up for this one. With Wooly, of course. I'm not trying to discount Wooly, you know. Without a doubt, I know, you know, Alec, you're a particularly big fan of Wooly as well, but I think they really did a nice job with this collaboration, dude. What'd you think?
Yep, couldn't agree more. I mean, all the styles came together, and as soon as I saw, you know, that it was Seven Lions teaming up with Excision and Wooly, as well as Dylan Matthews, it seems like I think Seven Lions has worked quite a bit with Dylan Matthews in the past, as a vocalist on a few songs, especially, you know, recently. I don't quote me on that, but I know that they've had at least a few different collabs. I can't remember which ones, but they've definitely worked together before.
I'm quoting you on that, me. And you're right. They actually did a song with Slander and nice. Dav, and it's called First Time.
Nice. It just works really, really well. And again, we've always talked about with Seven Lions, he's a mastermind at manipulating people's emotions in a good way, right? And this song really is kind of a journey with that. I love how he starts off uplifting with it, and then he gets down into the deep and heavy. And that's kind of what, you know, Seven Lions sets are, right? Like, it's that emotional roller coaster, except that you kind of hear it all within this one song. What do you think?
Yep, emotional roller coaster is the exact way to categorize this song, man. It is definitely an emotional roller coaster because it goes hard as shit and it just comes back and just uplifts you, man. Yep. You know, it's like a well crafted set in like a 3-minute song.
Totally agreed.
Honestly, I hope we get some more collaborations from these guys.
I think we will. I think we will.
Yeah, I think they're a really, really nice pairing. So yeah, we'll keep an eye on it. And you know, I'm hoping I get a chance to catch some of Wooly today for Izu
Day
3.
Yes, dude, please.
With Seven Lions.
Please, because I've actually never seen Wooly, so I'd be really interested in hearing your thoughts. I'm a big fan of his music, but definitely check him out.
I hope his set isn't too early, man.
Oh yeah, that's true. We'll see.
I'll take a look at the set times. But yo, going back to the house side, right? Chris Lorenzo with the song Every Morning. Yes, dude. I want this song to be my morning alarm every morning. This shit is
every
awesome.
Morning. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's very catchy. Very catchy. I knew you would
so
like
catchy.
This. It's very catchy.
Honestly, it could just make your morning better. And for listeners, of course, if you guys don't know, Chris Lorenzo, house music, he is so freaking good live. This is awesome, man. This is such a cool song. And like, where does Chris Lorenzo get his creativity from sometimes? I just don't know.
It's, I mean, he has quite a few different influences, right? So he's got tech house in there, but he's also really heavily involved in the, you know, garage or bassline.
Oh, boy, here we go. Garage.
Yeah. You're going to hear it, all right? But it's true. It's absolutely true. Well, I mean, we'll talk about it. You have to talk about Anti Up. I want to hear what the type of music they were throwing in there. But, you know, Chris Lorenzo, he has inspirations from multiple styles of house music, right? Which is why I think he can get creative. So these last two releases, Every Morning and then, I absolutely love that song, but Work that he released as well.
Yeah, dope song.
You know, again, it's kind of going much more along that tech house type of line than I think before, because the last releases before that were much more in that bass line. I think the EPs were like Bass Mentality and stuff like that. So he's teaming up with people like Tacky New Light, you know, some really big heavy hitter bass line people. But I think that's where his creativity comes from, man, is because he's dealing with a lot of, you know, it's within house music, but it's actually very different. So
right on.
I think
right on. No,
yeah, right. Like he can do that.
His ability to cross genres like this, he just knows what he's doing, man. He's been in the game for quite some time, and his years of experience, you could just tell that he is a master at his craft.
This is a big year for him, thinking about it now, actually, because like, he's really blowing up this year, especially in the US, I've noticed. Like, a lot of people
Huge,
in the US are
bro.
Noticing him. Yeah, because I feel like before, he wasn't as big in the US.
I would 100% agree with you on that, for sure.
Maybe it was Anti Up that did it, to be honest.
I think it was Anti Up, because Chris Lake, I think, has been blowing up for some time here in the US, and now him teaming up with Chris Lorenzo,
those
guys doing Anti Up, and then like,
it's insane.
And then getting exposure with like, Hey Pablo, that's a great song. Pizza, Hey Pablo. Yeah, great song. It's stuck in my head right now, dude.
Don't get it stuck in mine. Damn it, it's stuck.
Yeah, sorry.
Shit.
Yeah, so I think that, he's really blown up this year, and I think we're only going to see big things, especially as we go into 2020. I can really see Chris Lorenzo taking off, man.
Me too, man.
Yo, Alec, I mean, you put Anna in here in our show notes. You did a song with Miss Kitten, and the song is called Forever Ravers, which I love. I love the title of this song. Yeah, bro, Anna, fucking love her, man. She's so good. I love her take on techno.
It's amazing, right? It's it was by chance that I stumbled across to seeing Anna live in San Francisco, and I'm just incredibly happy that I did, because I agree with you, man. Her take on techno, it's welcoming for people maybe like me who are not as experienced in techno. But I feel like it's good enough to, it's creative enough to hold your attention, you know, someone like you, where you are more heavily ingrained in the techno scene. If you know what I'm saying,
right?
Like, I feel like it's a great medium between people who can get into techno versus people like, wow, okay, this is really different, it's really cool, the people who are more established in techno.
Totally, dude. Totally. Like, that was the perfect way to say it, man. Her music is perfect for the folks who are like, I love techno, and for the folks who are like, all right, I'm ready to try some techno, who should I check out? Anna is the place to start. And this song, This song that she did, Forever Ravers. Fucking awesome song, man, for real. So, and this is also released on Compact Records too, which is actually a pretty big deal. That's a really big record label, man. I think this might be her first release on Compact, so good for her. Ooh. You could tell, you could definitely tell she's starting to blow up, man. I mean, releasing tracks on Drum Code is a pretty big deal, but also to release tracks on Compact, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that is really big. I mean, she's definitely blown up without a doubt, man. I mean, once I feel like once you get the support of the man himself, Adam Beyer, just big, you know, doors totally. Are going to open for you, right? Like, you know, and she had a couple tracks that have been heavily supported by him.
Hell yeah. Dude, all the women in the techno scene are just absolutely
shout out
it.
To them, yeah. man. Shout out to the women in the techno scene. Just women, actually, let's just say women DJs in general, let's be honest. I mean,
yeah,
really well this
year. Yeah, of course, across all genres, 100%, dude, 100%. Great new music that was just released this past week, man. Really, really love to see just, like, the fire that's just consistently being put out. Because I think, like, the summertime is a really, really big time for new music to come out in the EDM scene. But, you know, it's cool to see, like, even after festival season is, you know, quote-unquote, almost coming to a close here, it's cool to see that artists are still just absolute dropping some absolute fire. Like, it's awesome to, like, have something to kind of hold you over until the next festival season.
Yeah, I agree, man. I mean, it's, oh, God, it's festival season's ending. That's sad.
Yeah, it is really sad. Well, for the East Coasters, it's definitely ending, man. For the West Coasters,
true.
You guys always have beautiful weather, so.
Nice.
Yeah, no,
that's
sucks.
True. I forgot about that. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I love being out here now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, shut up. All right, so let's move into the music culture section. We got some sweet shit that we have to talk about in here, but let me just quickly just give my high-level thoughts right now on Izu, if you don't mind. Just
please
I've
do.
Attended the past 2 days. I attended the Brownies and Lemonade after party on the first day of the festival. It's been, honestly, it's been a really, really incredible past couple of days. What was awesome, dude, is like, man, I'm, like, so, like, overwhelmed by emotion. I just don't want to, like, get into it too much right now because I want to give it a thorough recap, you know, next week's episode. But, man, when I walked into the festival and I went to the Riverside stage where I was catching tails, right? And I had the flag waving up behind me. Alec, I think, like, maybe one of your friends came up to me and was like, yo, are you Alec's boy? Like, do you do the podcast with Alec? I'm like, yeah. He's
nice.
Like, yo, You guys do a really good job with that. I'm like, oh, dude, thank you so much. Yo, Alec, I want to give a massive, massive shout out to Joe, okay? Joe, dude, I don't say this very often, but, you know, yesterday I saw Eric Prydz in the Prido Arena do a 2-hour set, a magical set, but the highlight of my day was meeting you, all right? For real, dude. Meeting you and just hearing how you've been listening to our podcast since episode one truly meant the world to me, and I know it meant a lot to Alec as well. And the fact that you made us candy as well, dude, like that, you have no idea like how overwhelmed with emotion I feel, and I'm so glad that we got a picture together.
My man,
bro, seriously,
my
like
man
bro, for real, like it's just, it was an incredible, incredible moment, and it's something that I will never, ever forget. And like I said, man, I don't say this very often, but yo, you were hands down, meeting you was like a highlight overseeing Eric Prydz last night. For
Woo.
Real, man. I truly mean that, dude.
Wow.
Thank you so much for your good vibes. Thank you so much for making me the candy. It's something I'm going to wear to every single festival and every rave I go to, for real.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah, it was, dude. Oh, man, it felt so good, man. I can't even begin to tell you. But Izu has been incredible, though, so far. But there's definitely some things that I want to address, and there's going to be some highlights, the good, the bad, the ugly. I mean, we're really going to dive deep into it on next week's episode when I finish up day 3 and attend the Eric Prydz after party. I'm going to be talking about Izu later on in the show. But, dude, let's talk about this Swedish House Mafia shit, right? Causing 4 million pounds, British pounds, of damage at Creamfields. I just... These people are a walking force of nature. What is going on here?
I don't know. You know, I don't know. But Joe, first of all, shout out, man. Thank you for making the candy for me. I thought that was really, really nice of you. You know, big up to you for doing that. I wish I was out there with you guys, man. I really, really do.
We miss you, man.
I know. I miss being out there. But Joe, my man, thank you for making my other man's Samir's day. That was really cool to see. He was really hyped about that, and I was just hyped, you know, that you guys got to meet up. So that's awesome. Great to see that. We live for this stuff, we really do. So I wanted to you know, just say that quickly. But
well said.
Yeah, Swedish House, though, you know, it's too much. Come on, guys, really? You're gonna go play at a major festival, are you going to cause £4 million worth of damage?
The biggest festival, the biggest EDM festival in UK.
It's just
Creamfields.
And it's just like, oh God. And it's like, it's just excessive. Like, don't get me wrong, it's cool. The pyros were cool, but it's like, come on, maybe you could have done it, you know, in a way that wouldn't potentially damage, or if you knew, because they have to have known that it was going to probably do something wrong. Right?
I could fucking tell that that was not... Okay, let's set the scene here a little bit, okay? It's the third day... I'm sorry, it's the fourth day of Creamfields, the last day. It's this Sunday, right? The festival starts on Thursday, then it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, okay? The Sunday at the main stage, first of all, they close down the main stage to set up the stage for Swedish House Mafia, right? They completely shut it down. There was nobody playing there for the entirety of the day. Listeners, let that sink in. Can you imagine going to a festival and then having the stage shut down for the whole day except for one act, the last act? So they put in this crazy setup into the Creamfields main stage. I believe it's the Arc stage, if I recall correctly,
that's right,
from my time out there. And oh my God, first of all, the show and the production, I'm not gonna lie, looked actually really, really sick. But guys, if you haven't seen these videos circulating around the EDM world, like in EDM Twitter or YouTube or Facebook or Instagram, I'd be very, very shocked. But you could just see the absolute production, like the absolute mayhem for the production that these guys were going for, okay? I mean, straight up fire towers just spinning up. I mean, way above the stage from all angles, everywhere. Like, it looked like an inferno. But, bro, Alec, think about it this way. Like, remember when we were at BasePod in 2017 and they would shoot up that massive fireball behind the stage?
Oh, yeah.
Remember how hot that shit was?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, now imagine that, like, 10 times all around that stage. Like, that's what that was, man. And, dude, obviously this is going to damage the LED panels. Who didn't think of this? I was watching the videos, and I could tell that that was not going to be good for the LED panels. That was the second thing I thought of. The first thing being like, whoa, this is pretty sick. Second of all, that's going to damage the LED panels. Like, what the hell is going on here? How do people not think?
To be honest, I think it was more of a thing where they were, like, weighing the opportunity cost of it, and they were like, well, we know that Swedish House is not gonna play if we don't do this for them, you know. I think they must have known, dude. They obviously knew.
I'm gonna have to respectfully disagree with you on
really?
That one.
You think that someone dropped the ball and they just like set this up thinking everything was gonna be fine?
I think somebody was probably like an intern was like, hey guys.
Intern, Joe. Not Joe, we like Joe. What's another name? We need another to Joe. Oh, Derek the intern.
Derek the intern was probably like, hey guys, like, I don't know, those fire flamethrowers are kind of close to the LED panels. It could cause about 4 million pounds of damage. Maybe we should just move them out further. Or shut up, Derek.
Derek,
you're an intern.
Oh my God. Maybe they obviously didn't know. In defense of my point, I don't think I knew it was going to be exactly £4 million worth of damage. But I do think that they knew just with all of the setup that it took that this was probably going to cost them some money, right?
And bro,
I really do think so. I'll tell you what, that's these people need to screw their heads on tight or something, because I don't know how you could possibly ever think that that would work. I mean, if they're that experienced in production and they can't tell when the pyro is going to freaking blow up part of the LED panels, then I have no idea how they even put on the show. I don't even know idea how they even built the stage.
For real.
Like, if they built the stage, they have to know. So it's like either complete negligence negligence, right, and just whatever, sometimes people make mistakes. Two, Derek, the intern, just didn't stick his hand up high enough. He was just didn't stay quiet on it. Probably should have done something, Derek.
Come on, Derek.
Or three, they kind of were accepting that there was just going to be some issues, or at least it just they tried to mitigate it and thought they could do a better job of mitigating it, but clearly didn't. Because I haven't seen anyone kick up a hissy fit about this, right? So I feel like if this was totally unexpected, they would have been a little bit more upset.
Honestly, dude, while I would agree with you that, yeah, we haven't seen any statements from, like, maybe the vendor who provides the LED paneling, I don't think we will. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think the vendors.
Oh, not from
like,
the
oh,
vendors. I mean, Creamfields in general. I think they would have been a little bit pissed because obviously that, you know, why does Swedish House care? Like, they just play, they just do their thing. right? But the relationship between Creamfields, the and then the vendors, like, that's not a good relationship to have if it's completely not. Oh, hey, sorry, by the way, your panel's all burnt up.
it's like letting your friend borrow like your Pokemon DVD and then you get it back and it's all scratched up. But except it's $4 billion. You know what I mean? £4 billion.
Yeah, that
it's
was like, a very close analogy there, Samir. Like on the same level. Really. Scratching up exactly. Pokemon. Did you say CDs? What are those? What is a CD?
That's as close as the comparison as I could make. Yeah.
Sweet. Back in the medieval ages is CDs. Get out of here. It's all street. Anyhow,
for real.
Anyhow, okay, so we can agree to disagree on this. I personally think that they had a little bit of an inclination that this is going to be a bit of an issue. Maybe I'm giving them too much benefit of the doubt, whereas Samir is not giving them benefit of the doubt.
I'm sorry, I'm calling bullshit, okay? I think they were just stupid and they did not realize. And to be also honest, dude, like, remember when we talked about Ultra Korea like a couple of weeks ago on the show, maybe about a month or two ago on the show, and how Swedish House Mafia canceled? I'm telling you, it's because I think just reaffirms why they canceled on that show. It's because, first of all, Ultra Korea had some issues with getting set up on time, right? And look at the fucking production that Swedish House Mafia wants to bring to every single one of their tour stops. It cannot be accommodated so easily.
Well, and that's a separate issue. Maybe we could agree on this. I think it's too much, man, to the point where it's like limiting where you can play that heavily. And then if you do manage to get that and they can accommodate it, it's going to damage the equipment. Right. I mean, it's just like, come on, like, relax a bit.
At first, I thought they would like come to like MSG, like Madison Square Garden here in New York. Mm-hmm. But if this is the level of production that these guys are going for, and maybe they have a different level of production for like their indoor shows versus their outdoor shows, if this is the level of production that these guys are going for, I don't know, man. These guys are gonna have a very hard time finding venues that will accommodate that.
It's I just never would have thought in this era of just crazy, over-the-top production at music festivals that they would break the system and want something that people like Ultra and then Creamfields could barely accommodate, right? I mean, Creamfields barely accommodated it because it broke a bunch of their crap, and then Ultra just couldn't. So it's insane to me. It's like, you gotta diet down a bit.
I agree. I was watching the videos and it's cool to see, but like, I do agree with you that it is too much. I do agree with you. It just looks good online.
Exactly.
Really. Like, it's just like, it just looks good online and maybe drums up a little bit more hype. Like, oh wow, Swedish House Mafia is bringing fucking flamethrowers.
Well, I
like,
mean, that was an issue when we saw them close Ultra Miami, right?
I mean, yeah, it was scheduled for there to be like a 30-minute intermission, you know, where Swedish House Mafia is bringing a couple more set pieces when we saw them at Ultra 2018.
Exactly. That's my point. But Jesus.
I mean, yeah, but you know, even at Ultra 2018, dude, like they couldn't get everything to work properly. Like, I don't know if you remember, but some of the fixtures the lightings weren't properly set up. It's because these guys are requiring too much. It's hard to accommodate. You know what I mean? So
that's saying something, man. I mean, these things are, you know, this is production at scale. Like, to require to the point where like they can't accommodate you, and this is a pattern now that you've got to die down your expectations and what you want.
Yeah,
because
for real.
Like Ultra, if they're struggling to accommodate it, you've got a bit of an issue. I think you're going a bit too...
I would completely agree with that. But no, really interesting stuff here, man. And we'll keep an eye as to how their other shows go. Like, it'd be interesting to see if they dial back a bit on the production after, you know, what has happened here at Creamfields. But we'll keep an eye. And listeners, I seriously encourage you guys, if you don't know what we're talking about with these videos of like the flamethrowers, I highly recommend that you guys go check out YouTube, type in Swedish House Mafia Creamfields, and actually let's also link a video in our show notes as well.
We can do that.
So it'll be there as well. But dude, this is a really, really interesting article here, right? This is one from Mix Mag, basically just talking about why are day parties taking over dance music? This is such an interesting article to kind of get into, especially because I just went to a day party after quite some time, just a couple of weeks ago, to see Hot Since 82. So I'm really excited to be talking about this. But basically, the debate is over, are day parties becoming more popular than nighttime parties? And which one's better? And obviously, everything is very subjective, right? But I would definitely agree with you that daytime parties seem to be picking up. You know what I mean? So let me just kind of give my example here, right? So I went to Hot Since 82 a couple weeks ago at the Knockdown Center in Queens. It was a fantastic, fantastic day. Incredible vibes. It was on a Sunday from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. He played the whole time. Very minimal lighting. It was outdoors. The sun was setting. The vibe just got better and better. It was just... It was really, really incredible. And now, like, seeing this article kind of put everything more contextually for me, I think I would agree with you that daytime parties are starting to become more popular, but I don't think one is necessarily better than the other overall.
I agree. No, I would agree with that. I think they're becoming more popular, but it's hard for me to say one is better than the other. I think a better way to look at this debate is saying, okay, certain types of genres are more suited for daytime versus nighttime,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think I'd much prefer to see someone like, you know, MK live in the daytime, like on a beach, than I would at a nightclub at night, like in the middle of the, you know, in the middle of the night, like a 1, 2 a.m., like where it's, you know what I mean?
Totally.
The vibe that MK goes for just with songs that, you know, more airy type of house, you know, it's same with like a Gorgon City can actually do a bit of both, but I'd say, okay, let's just say, I'd say Gorgon City, again, I would prefer to see kind of like live as like, you know, like a pool party or a beach party or something like that during the day. And then at night, like, I can't, sorry, but I don't think Rez during the day is the best vibe for her, right? Like,
right.
You know, so I think the question is more about the music specifically, right, in that situation versus one being better than the other. Like, I get that the author is basically saying, yeah, it's nice to be able to go rave your ass off, but then be able to be in bed by a decent time and not feel it the next
day.
But, you know, at the same time, though, man, I feel like the late nights are part of the experience in a way, right? Like, that's kind of how raving started.
Yeah.
That was where it really began. It was underground. It keeps that underground feel to it, right? I mean, there's a reason why they do keep it later, especially when you go over to like Europe, right? I mean, you know, like people party much later
over in
Europe. But it's sticking to that kind of like root and tradition of it being quite underground, right? And that's why you see things like techno still being thrown in you know, warehouses. And of course, the vibe of the music fits with that. But there's almost like a traditional piece there with it, right? Like raves used to be much more underground. You know, I mean, you could just look back to, say, videos in like the 70s or 80s. It's like, you know, police are raiding, you know, clubs in the UK because of, you know, all the stuff going on. And it's only really now that I think electronic music has become much more accepted as a music and an art form in a much more of a mainstream sense, right? Like you're hearing it on the radio, you've got people like Calvin Harris kind of crossing it with pop. And I think once that started happening, it's weird, right? It's like once the acceptance was out there of this being like okay to dance to and it's not just for crazy people, right?
Right.
It's almost like, oh, now you can listen to it in the day. Right? Like, it's really interesting.
Oh, that is so interesting.
Right? Have you thought about it that way? Because...
No, I never have. That's really interesting, though.
You know?
Yeah.
And again, I think it's... You can't say it's one or the other, right? It's definitely a confluence of, like, okay, you know, some genres of house are just much better to, you know, be played out in the day. But I'm telling you, it started at night primarily because of the reason why they had to, you know, keep it relatively underground. But now it's able to be out in the day. So... Long story short, a bit of a ramble there, but long story short, I don't think one is better than the other. I think it's dependent on the vibe, but I really hope that people stick to the late night, you know, nightclub vibes, because I really, really enjoy those. And I think it kind of adheres to the tradition and the history of just electronic music and raving in general, because that is the vibe that it first started out with. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I would totally agree with you that I think nighttime still for me is definitely my preferred one. And I think it's because I can better appreciate the roots of where electronic music came from when it comes to like those nighttime parties, you know, because it feels like you're just part of the experience when it's at night. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, don't get me wrong, Hot Since 82 during the day was actually pretty, pretty amazing. But, you know, it didn't feel like a true rave, right? And if you're trying to find a rave, then that definitely wouldn't be the place to go to, because it was more of a dance party. People were moving, people were grooving, you know what I mean? But yeah, the nighttime shows are where it's at. Like, people just like, they get down and they get dirty. And I think it's because also folks get a little bit more loosened up,
yep,
you know, at nighttime, because they're not so easily seen, if that makes sense.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like, they have less inhibitions and they can open up and be a little bit more carefree. And during the day, I think people are a little bit more reserved, you know what I mean? They're not as loosey-goosey. So it's really just all about the vibe that you're going for. That's what this really comes down to. Like, are you looking to headbang during the day, you know,
I mean,
like
we've
for
done
a res
that.
Set?
I mean, we've done that.
We've done that, sure.
The pool
yeah,
party.
But like, are you...
Bass
like,
rush.
Oh yeah, that was pretty awesome though. But like, yeah, your example with Rez was prime, dude. Like, that's exactly right. Like, are you gonna be able to truly enjoy Rez during the day?
No shot.
I don't think so.
Shot. Zero. Yeah, it's just not happening.
The show is really...
I mean,
yeah.
Tweet at me if you think I'm wrong, but no way. There's no...
Yeah, tweet at Alec, okay?
No way.
I don't remember his Twitter handle, but it's just like... It's just like... It's going to come down to the vibe that you're going for and the genres that you're going for. But listeners, let me ask you guys, right? Which parties do you like? Are you more interested in a daytime party or a nighttime party? Tweet at us at PodBTB. Send us a message on Instagram at btb.pod or on Facebook. We're Beyond the Beats. Like, we'll read some of your answers on air as well. Like, we're just really interested to know, like, what are you guys interested in, you know, from when you like to rave and go out and party. So just let us know. But really also great article as well. Just, again, Mixmag is killing it with these articles, man. I fucking love these guys out there.
Mixmag does a great, great job. And you know, just the last thing on this, I think, you know, let's put up a poll, man. Let's see. Let's see what the people have to say.
Let's definitely put up a poll on this. Cool. I'm really interested to see what people say.
Me too. Yeah. Me too.
Cool. Yo, moving into it, Meterama Gaming Plus Music Festival. I think this is something that we had briefly maybe covered, maybe not. I'm not recalling correctly on the podcast before, but it was canceled. And, you know, they had some headliners like Marshmello, Snoop Dogg, Logic, Alan Walker. But it was basically canceled just to low ticket sales. So what do you think here, Alec? Are we still ways away from having that merging between video games and electronic music coming to the live era, like the live kind of experience?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're still a little too far away from that. We're close, right? And I think this was ambitious. I think at best it, I think, you know, I'm sure Marshmello had pushed for this because Marshmello has been a big part of, you know, bridging esports with electronic music, right? And doing like the Fortnite festival and, you know, all that type of stuff, right? But I think it's just not quite ready yet, and I even wonder, is the technology necessarily ready to make it a worthwhile experience? I mean, I know that you know, VR is becoming much more a part of things, and people even like Rez are starting to play around with it and see what they can, how they could bring it into production. But I just don't know how gaming will be able to cross with a music festival just yet in terms of in person, right? I think digitally it can work, and it has worked very well, but I don't think people are quite ready yet to say, yeah, this is a worthwhile experience. And maybe even the technology and the experience itself is not quite ready. I know they were really hyping it up, but I just can't imagine it would be anything too enticing. And I think that's reflected in the ticket sales.
Yeah, I'm with you right there. It's like, what is truly separating like a Meterama, for instance, like a video game plus music festival from like other festivals that are in the EDM scene,
right?
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, I just don't think that there's enough just yet, but I think we'll get there. I really do think we'll get there. And I think like you just mentioned, dude, Marshmello doing that concert in Fortnite, it was fantastic to see how video games and electronic music can come together. And I think if we just have a couple more of those sorts of events happen online, a couple more of those iterations, you know, Rez just did a big VR party. That's also a step in the right direction for that. I think we'll get there. It may have been a bit too ambitious, like you mentioned.
I think so, man. I really do think so. It's a shame, but I do think eventually. I mean, look, they got big names on board for it, right? I mean, that's a
They did.
That's a good sign. It's surprising, but it's not. It's like people, I think they're realizing that this is going to be the way forward. It's just a little too early, I think.
Yeah.
Right.
I think if this was maybe like 2020 or 2021, this would have gone
off.
Yeah,
exactly. I think maybe just a couple more years until something like this would be able to be pulled off successfully. So, on board with you there, man. I agree.
Cool, man. Cool. But also, you know, let's move into Groove Cruise over here. They just dropped their lineup.
Yes, they did, man. Have you heard of Groove Cruise before? I haven't really heard of them before.
Yeah, I've heard of Groove Cruise before. I think it's the direct competitor to, like, a Holy Ship. You know what I mean? It's one of these other cruise ship kind of festivals, which is really cool. Like, I've always wanted to kind of go on one of these, but at the same time, they're also really, really expensive.
Yeah,
so I'm
exactly.
just like, I'm a bit adverse to it. And, you know, kind of being cooped up in like a 4-person cabin, and those cabins are not terribly big, is not something I'm terribly interested in. Like, I don't know if I want to be in such close quarters to Alec. You know what I mean? It's just, it's not my thing.
Oh, dude, my bad. Come on.
But you know, the lineup that they just dropped is actually really quite enticing, man. I mean, headlining it, you got Above and Beyond, which is really, really cool. Like, I feel like that's gonna be very, very dope if you're into Above and Beyond sound. Kashmir, Loco Dice, which is awesome to see them on this lineup. Like, I was really, really stoked to see them. Marcus Schulz, Noren Pure, who's amazing, by the way, who I'm trying to check out today, actually, at Izu, nice. And Roger Sanchez. Yeah, I've never seen her, so I'm pretty psyched. And then kind of on the smaller undercard here, you got Danny Howard, yes. which is going to be sick. Yes. He's a legend.
Absolute legend.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, dude. And then, of course, you know, in the further undercard, you got Adam Scott, you got Denzo. I mean, this is Liquid Todd is there as well. This is pretty sweet, man. I'm pretty psyched to see that Groove Cruise was able to pull off a pretty great lineup this year.
Well, also, we haven't talked about it too. We mentioned it at the beginning. A lot of house music here too.
Oh yes, a lot of house. Very good point. A lot of house music.
For an American festival cruise, whatever you want to call it. I mean, obviously you've got some trance in there too, but there's a lot of house.
There's a lot of house, yeah. And what's cool is that Noren Pure is actually hosting her own stage here with Purified.
She's doing a lot recently. You know, man, she was in San Francisco maybe a couple months ago. I'm really sad I actually didn't go to check her out because she was actually opening up, I believe, a brand new rooftop venue in San Francisco.
Oh, I feel like I remember you mentioning that. Yeah,
and I was asking you about whether I should go, and I wasn't able to go. I wish I did now.
Yeah, she's honestly really, really killing it, man. And her mixes are so dope, too. Like, I'm really, really hoping that I get a chance to catch her set, man. It's going to be... She just has this uplifting way about her, but she's really good at building tension and then releasing it. So I think, like, the people who are going to be at this Groove Cruise, especially that she's curating her own stage, they're really, really in for a treat. And it's pretty cool, man. Like, it cruises out of Miami and it goes to like Costa Maya, Mexico, which is pretty dope. So I feel like this is gonna be a really cool thing, like good vibes all the way around. But you know, these festival cruises, they tend to be a bit expensive.
Yeah,
so not necessarily something that's on my horizon, you know what I mean, in the near future, because there's some other things I want to spend my money on. But this is pretty cool for the folks who enjoy this kind of festival.
Agreed, man. I'm 100% on board with you there. No pun intended.
Boo. Man, you're doing that more and more on the podcast, and I'm getting really
sick of
this shit.
That was actually an unintended pun, so...
Yeah, yeah. You have been waiting for me to just set you up for
that
one.
I've been practicing.
Yeah, in the mirror.
I was in the mirror saying, if there's anything I want to get across, it is this... horrible pun.
Bro, I went to your girlfriend and you're probably like,
she's horrified.
Babe, can you help me practice this line?
I did. She wasn't very impressed, so
good. Neither am I.
Great.
All right. Not anti-plur moment just yet. Anti-plur moment soon. This week is Alex lame jokes, but no. We gotta talk about Insomniac. You know, they just purchased a very, very famous club in Miami, something that I'm sure some of our listeners have already been to, but they just purchased Space Club in Miami. How did that come about?
To be honest, man, this is something I feel like has been happening for a while. I know Pascal Rotella has been always pretty close to, to space, and he's even said himself that, you know, space has got a pretty important,
Yeah, I remember that.
Right, exactly. Got a pretty important, you know, piece to play in the EDM scene. What I'm wondering is Insomniac trying to make a little bit more of a move on Miami with Ultra kind of dropping the ball in some ways, right? I mean, that's one part, right? So we could dive on that. Let's put a pin in that for a second. But the real thing I think that we can hands down both agree on here is that this is a really, really, really smart move by Insomniac. Incredibly smart move. I think that this is something we're going to see a lot more of going forward from big production companies like Insomniac, because you see a lot of nightclubs starting to go out of business, and I know Space, you know, have been really trying to... Miami's been kind of clamping a bit down on nightclubs in general, and you see that across the US as well. And really in the world, though, there's a lot of, you know, encroachment upon club spaces and stuff. So this, I think, having the backing of Insomniac is going to help them out, right? And it kind of secures them a longer-term lease there, as well as gives them, you know... access to premier, you know, talent, not that they already didn't, but now that they have, like, they can upgrade, you know, the production systems, I believe, that are going in and doing a new sound system with strobes and stuff like that. So I think this type of partnership is something we can expect to see going forward.
Really, really interesting points here about Insomniac wanting to take a stronger hold here in Miami. I think you're absolutely spot on with that, but something I also kind of want to mention here is that Insomniac has a lot of their own brands as well that fall under their umbrella, right? So I'm talking about Factory 93, the techno brand, Dream State, their trance brand. We're talking about Bass Rush as well, their harder music brand, right? So they have all these different brands, and I feel like we're going to start to see Insomniac hosting like a Factory 93 night at Space Miami, or like a Dream State night at Space Miami, right? Giving more getting more eyes on their brands, maybe leading people to want to travel outside of Miami, maybe attend an EDC Orlando or attend EDC Vegas, because now they're familiar with the brands that kind of fall under Insomniac. You know what I mean? Because the whole area in Miami has been truly dominated by Ultra for a long time, and the Resistance brand that they have under their wing. So I could see this is a really, really strategic move on Insomniac's part, and I definitely could see this paying off in strides for them in the coming years.
Yeah, I agree, man. I think it serves like a – there's multiple facets to this, right? You know, I think there's one with the kind of, you know, nightclubs are in need essentially of more backing now. And it just makes sense just from a talent perspective too to be teaming – getting in a little bit closer with some of these production companies, and it also makes sense for the production companies vice versa. But I really think you hit the nail on the head, Ashley, man. I think this is just a very strategic move by Insomniac to be able to take some, you know, eat up some market share from something that may have been owned by Resistance, right, and Ultra, and they have a chance now to show off their brands in a place that's, you know, it's a great place to be showing off electronic music, right? And I do feel like Insomniac has been quite noticeably absent from Miami Music Week and just the Miami music scene down there in general, right? But I feel like this is a way for them to get their foot in the door, as it were, and show off all their different brands. So very good point with that, man.
You know, we'll keep a close eye on this as well, and listeners, we'll keep you guys updated. You know, but really, Miami listeners, keep an eye out for Insomniac. Like, you might start seeing more of their shows pop up at Space Miami. So if you're confused about who Factory 93 is, or Dream State, or Bass Rush, it all falls under the Insomniac brand. But yo, let's move into it. I kind of teased it a little bit at the beginning of this show, just some things I want to talk about with EZU. But we're moving into the anti-plur moment.
Here we go.
Okay.
Oh boy.
Let's do
it,
man. I am fucking heated up right now about this shit. Okay. I am so damn annoyed. All right, listeners, I'm so sorry in advance if I'm getting a little bit intense here. But look, we need to talk about this, and this is something that we have talked about before on the show. And one thing that we really try to do here in this anti-plur moment is we don't like to call out, like, we try really hard not to call out, like, specific people or specific festivals or shows or artists or DJs, but I need to talk to EZU directly right here. I need to talk to Made Event directly
oh
right here.
Oh, boy.
Okay?
Uh-oh.
The water situation at EZU is fucking bullshit, okay? Ooh. I don't know what is going on out there. All right, I don't know whose idea it was to cut down on a water station, but yo, you guys have plenty of bars out there, right? Not a big deal, okay? You have plenty of bars. You made the main stage bigger. Good for you, okay? The tents are bigger, awesome, but where the fuck is the water, huh? What's going on? There used to be a water station, like, as soon as you entered the festival, there used to be a water station in the middle of the fields and then one right by the main stage, and I'm recalling this from when I went to 2017. Now there's only two water stations, okay? They are not manned, there are no lines, it's just a crowd of people merging into each other. And what irks me so much is that each of these water stations only have like six spigots. That's it. Okay. Six to eight. I'm like, I didn't count all of them obviously, but it's about six to eight spigots on each side. And what's crazy is that both of these water stations are right in the middle of the festival and on either sides of the field. Okay. So you got one water station that is right between the two big tents. And then you got one water station that is like the perfect water station if you're trying to go to the main stage. So you got these water stations in places that are going to have the highest traffic, which logistically makes sense because you want people to see the water stations as well as possible. But you forgot one thing. You forgot to make the water fucking accessible, and I don't understand why. The water bottles cost $5 each. Whose idea is this right now? Like, who decided that this was a good idea to eliminate a water station, especially at EZU when people had passed away in 2012 and 2013 at the festival? It boggles my goddamn mind.
I know,
man. Like, you guys will stop. I'm like spitting on my mic right now. Jesus Christ. You guys will stop serving alcohol at 10 o'clock, which is a great move, actually. I can respect that. You guys will stop serving alcohol at 10 o'clock to allow people to sober up as the festival comes to a close, and I can appreciate that. But where is the fucking water? And why is it taking me 30 minutes to 45 minutes during midday to get water, man? It doesn't make sense.
And during, I think...
Well, it makes sense because...
Yeah.
It makes sense because they want me to buy water bottles, which unfortunately I've had to do. Like, I'm going to stay hydrated no matter what. It's important, but this is ridiculous.
It's... Yeah, man. I really don't like to hear that. You know, and I was laughing at the beginning just because of your passion, but it's not a laughing matter at all, and it's really quite... Quite serious. I mean, we've talked about it here on the podcast before multiple times, but it just doesn't make any sense to me, as you said before, especially since Izu has a history of just having bad things happen to people, that they just, it's just completely saying we're going to be negligent and we don't really care totally about your health, right? Like, you come here, you give us money, and there you go. Like, we're not going to have anything in place for you to be safe and, you know, have a good time, right? And just, it's just... If we put aside just, I don't understand why, from a liability purpose, they're not doing it. That just boggles my mind. Just, if I was running the thing, I'd be like, right, we need to eliminate liability for a lot of different things.
Yeah,
and like,
of course.
Have water. Just number one thing that you've got to do. Any bar will tell you that. You just got to have, you know, access to water in case people are getting, you know, too fucked up. And then you've also got it being during the day, right, where it's hot. And I imagine, has it been hot, Samir? I don't know because I haven't been on the coast, but...
I would say the Friday was the hottest day, the first day. It was like in the mid-80s during the day and then like went down to like mid-70s.
Okay, so I mean, so, it's still hot, though.
It's not like... It's hot, but the sun is... Dude, it's been sunny, so the sun is directly beating down on you, and that takes a massive toll.
It's just having water. It's just a smart move, liability purposes, right? But then it's also like you got to... It just shows that you care about your attendees, right? You know, things happen, and just, it's just, even if nothing is wrong, just having the ability to go get water, right, it's just something that should just be a staple thing, just, right, like, not even something you should think about. You shouldn't have to think about, do I need to go drop, you know, freaking $50 on water, which is insane, right?
It's
like,
insane.
You could be like, I could spend $50 on alcohol, but no, you're spending $50 on water. Right, because I imagine you're not just buying one bottle the entire day.
Right.
Right?
Oh, of course, dude, of course. And like, it's just, and there's nobody manning these goddamn things. There's no lines. It's just, it's truly, Alec, it is the definition of a clusterfuck. It is the most ridiculous thing. It is honestly, listeners, in my 5 years of going to Izu, all the festivals I've ever been to, anything, the water situation at Izu this year is by far the worst I've ever seen.
Wow. Damn.
Yeah, and I've been to Creamfields where the water isn't so like readily advertised, but I was able to get water in and out so quickly. You know what I mean? But like, Izu has truly, truly fucked up this year on that. Like, I ran to my brother and he was like, "I'm like, dude, what the fuck is going on with the water?" And he's like, "Yeah, dude, I just sent them an email on this." Like, he wrote up an email at the festival addressing the water situation on the first day. And people are dumb. Made events, they're not dumb. They know what's going on here. Like, hella people are like, this water situation is ridiculous. They just want us to buy the water bottles. Everybody knows what's going on here, all right? You're not fooling anybody. Get your shit together.
That's sad,
and
man.
Do it better
that
next
really
year.
That really upsets me,
yeah.
Too. Because, shit, because, you know, I was about to praise and say, yeah, they've done so well, right? Just with the lineups and with the production.
Totally, man.
And just, it's just greedy at this point. You know, and
totally,
it's just so unnecessary.
I'll definitely be singing some praises next week about Izu, but right now, like, it's pissing me off so much, dude. Like, I can't even begin to tell you. Like, I'm gonna get to the festival at like 4 o'clock midday, and I already know like it's gonna take me like 45 minutes to get water. I already know it. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, that's not good.
I'm pissed off. Anyways, I'm sorry.
No, don't be.
I need to take like a deep breath right now, man. That it's just it just kind of pissing me off. So Izu. Your water setup, you guys are my anti-plur moment this week. Get your shit together and do it better for 2020.
There we go.
Mic drop.
There we
boom.
Go.
But our episode is not done yet because we got to talk about the What Are We Listening To section. It's the part of the show where Alec and I talk about two pieces of music that were recently released, and we'll go into our thoughts and go more in depth into them, right? So last week we had talked about how a Skrillex and Boys Noize track, the one that they did with Ty Dolla $ign, was leaked early on Beatport, and the song is called Midnight Hour. Well, it's got its official release, and you know what? I wasn't terribly stoked on the last Ty Dolla $ign collab that Skrillex did, but this song, Midnight Hour, it's a song that I've already heard once before in their Ultra 2019 Dog Blood set, is a great song, man. This is such a good song. Alec, what'd you think?
I really liked it, man. I was a little nervous, just as you were, going in, seeing TY Dolla $ign on there, and nothing against him, it's just I haven't liked the collabs in the past, right, as yeah. much, but this track really impressed me, and actually, I think, I can't believe I'm saying this, but, and I'm sure you would agree, but the words, man, it actually, the rap kind of went with it, it kind of worked with yeah. it, you know, it's not,
totally, bro,
not my favorite, but it worked with it, and this was just, it's just amazing to see Skrillex and Boys Noize back at it together, working on some really creative ways to write the dude bass house and Absolutely. Things like that. And that's what I love about yeah. it. And a quick question for you. I see that they haven't listed Dog Blood on there.
I knew you were going to bring that up. I knew you were going to bring that up. Yeah. I was also going to bring up the very same
okay,
thing.
Okay, go into no, it. But, yeah, go on.
Yeah, I see why they didn't list this as a Dog Blood song, because it doesn't sound like a Dog Blood song. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it's not. I don't think it's meant to be that way. But I think like Skrillex and Boys Noize, I think they genuinely enjoy working with each other, and I think they were able to get really creative with having Ty Dolla $ign on this song, Midnight Hour. And I think they did take a step back to be like, okay, is this what we want Dog Blood to sound like? And they probably said, no, this isn't what Dog Blood sounds like, but this is still a great song that I think that we can all put our names on. So they release it under Skrillex and Boys Noize rather than Dog Blood. So yeah, it's really, really interesting point there. I did have to take some time to step back and really think about why it's not Dog Blood listed, but rather Skrillex and Boys Noize.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And have we seen that before? Have they done that before?
I feel like they have. And I'm having a hard time kind of picturing which song it may have been.
That's okay. I mean, regardless, I'm pretty sure they have. And it makes a lot of sense too. It really does make a lot of sense, because a lot of people who, you know, might be, hell, even a lot of people who are into Skrillex, right, probably weren't too aware of Dog Blood, right? And
totally, dude.
And I think, again, it's Skrillex, I think, is really, there seems to be a real reach out to the hip-hop community almost, right? At least from Skrillex's end. I've noticed that. Have you noticed that? He seems to be really reaching out and trying to bring in some of the hip-hop and rap into electronic music.
I think Skrillex is honestly just having a good time reaching out to a bunch of different artists from a bunch of different genres, right? I mean, he just did a song with Ed Sheeran, which isn't necessarily a song that I'm totally stoked about, Wait to Break My Heart, the song he did with Ed Sheeran. Right. He's got Malu Kera with a couple of rappers. I think it had more of a Spanish vibe to it. He did a remix a couple months ago of Kelsey Lu's song Due West, which is a banging remix, by the way. So I think he's just having a fun time going to a bunch of different artists from a bunch of different genres and just trying some new shit.
That's true. Yeah, I can see that. I think in general, though, I have seen a trend of just rappers working a lot more with electronic music artists, right? At least publicly so. Like, we've seen just a little bit more of an uptick in that. And I do think that's due to electronic music's growing popularity.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And I think also just the fact that producers in the EDM scene are willing to go out and work with a Ty Dolla $ign.
I think a bunch of different artists from a bunch of different genres are realizing here that electronic music, you know, as it was coming up, maybe people were like, you know, it's whatever, it's not the sound for me. But I think artists from a bunch of different genres are starting to realize that the artists that are in the electronic music scene have an insane amount of creativity to them. And totally. And I think they recognize that, and they're like, okay, I want to collab with these guys, because these guys could perhaps bring a whole new perspective and spin into my sound, and it would be a very interesting project to work on. Do you know what I
mean? Totally, man.
There's something about electronic music artists that their creativity knows no bounds, and I really feel like the mainstream and the more popular acts are starting to recognize that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it makes sense though, right? Because it's electronic music, by its very nature and function, is focusing, you know, like on the beats, right? It's on the production of the song, whereas rappers will not always be as focused on that as much as they are on the lyrics and the rhyme and how it flows, quote unquote, right? So I think what they've realized now is, hell, these EDM people, these DJs, quote unquote, right? Like they're incredibly talented producers, and they're able to make music for multiple different types of genres, but they're probably seeing the pure production talent that's coming out from this, right? Like, even if they don't like the music, they're like, this is incredibly complicated to make, right? It really is. Like, especially...
Totally.
You know what I mean? And even people, like, you know, who are into the trap and dubstep producers, like, it's incredibly complex, the music theory behind it, right? You know, but there, it comes so innately to some of these people, and just the and how quickly they can bang out a melody and some beats. So I think rappers are really looking into that and seeing, wow, okay, rap has gotten a bit stale at the moment, right? Things are quite samey. I think a lot of the artists, if they're honest with themselves, I think they can feel that, right? And so injecting in some either straight up EDM beats, kind of what with this song, right, with some like house beats in it,
totally,
or having electronic music producer create rap beats, just with, but they come up from a different lens and a different perspective. I think rap artists are using this to their advantage because they know this is injecting rap and hip hop with a much needed boost of creativity.
Bro, totally agreed. And I think that Skrillex and Boyz Noize teaming up with Ty Dolla Sign to
do
this song Midnight Hour is it's going to pave the way even more to see more of these sorts of collaborations. And I'm really, really excited to see, you know, what comes of this. And dude, honestly, I don't know, man. Dogblood is closing out the main stage at EZU today. I have a feeling Ty Dolla Sign is going to come out and do this song with
them.
It was just released. It was just released.
Didn't Skrillex?
He did.
At a Brownies and Lemonade party, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It wasn't Brownies and Lemonade party. It was actually Ty Dolla Sign came out during their Ultra 2019 set.
No, but I'm pretty sure at a Brownies and Lemonade party too. I'm pretty
sure. Oh, really?
Sure. Yeah, I think I saw them post about it.
Oh, shit. Nice.
Yeah, in Miami. Cool. And it's like you just brought them up.
Yeah, the Miami one.
Yeah.
Right. That's pretty dope, man.
It's cool. I think it's cool, and I'm down with it. So long as it doesn't completely disrupt the flow.
Totally. Yeah. Set. Oh yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Remember back to Busta Rhymes at Output.
Yeah.
That was a little bit too much.
I'll never forget that.
A little too much. But
really fire track there with Midnight Hour. But really excited to be talking about Enzo now, right? With this multiverse EP, Alec. This is somebody that you had spotlighted as an artist that we're watching pretty early on when we started this podcast. What was the name of the song that you had featured from him?
So it's actually his
really popular.
Yeah, so it's actually his biggest song now, which is nice to see, and it wasn't at the time, but Overthinker is the
song.
Unbelievable track. And I tell you what, it's just I'm really excited, like you are, that we're able to talk about Enzo in this section, because it's really just showing that an artist that we featured, right, someone who started off a little bit smaller. I remember at the time he was a little bit bigger than a typical one, I will say that, right? So he was already gaining some traction, some following,
totally,
especially out here on the West Coast. But he's just absolutely blown up now. I couldn't believe it when I was just looking over his stats. But it's really awesome to be able to be talking about an artist that we featured in that artist we're watching section, now in really a section that's for very well-established producers and DJs, right? Like, I think it's really neat that we're able to talk about them and him in this section.
Yeah, it's so incredible to see his growth. And this Multiverse EP is going to take him places, man. This is so well done. A 5-track EP. First track, Multiverse. Second is Let It Slide with Bluka and Leo Napier. Third track is called Why. Just the letter Y. Number 4 is Spectrum, and number 5 is Hell of a Drug, a song that he did with Stratus. So, dude, I mean, let's start from the very top. Multiverse was such an amazing way to open this EP, dude. Like, it was paying respect to his kind of normal sound, so to speak, you know what I mean? But you could tell that there's a little bit more advancement in his sound. Like, he's gotten better as an artist, as a producer.
Totally, man. I'm really glad to see that you're actually really into this. I wasn't sure if you would be.
I'm very passionate about this EP,
I love that,
dude.
Man.
It's really well
That's great. Yeah, no, I'm 100% on board with you there, man. Multiverse was a fantastic track to open this EP to. And I think you hit the nail on the head. His sound is evolving, right? So, and I think before it was almost kind of like a puzzle in a way, right? Like, he had one particular sound he started off with, which is much more of this typical future bass sound, something like an Overthinker, right? Which is a little bit more airy, a little bit lighter. But now he's getting more and more complex, right? So he's adding different pieces to this puzzle that creates this Enzo sound. And I can't really put my finger on it, but perhaps that's the point, right? It's not future bass. It's, you know what I'm saying? Like, what would you classify this as?
Oh, Alec, don't even start with me on the genres,
well, I
man.
Know.
It's so hard to classify what this guy is
but
doing.
But that's the point, I feel
future
like, man.
Future bass is like, future bass is as close as I'm willing to get to, like, what kind of genre he's in. You know what I mean? Because but it can be further dialed in. I know that, but I cannot think of the name right now.
Totally. Exactly, man. And that's kind of my point, is the fact that he is building up on his sound, right? So something that may have been more easily classified or categorized as future bass at the beginning, you know, the song such as Overthinker that I featured, he's now really evolving into his own take on future bass and dragging in different influences from all these different areas to create totally. His own Enzo sound, right? Putting together all the pieces to the puzzle. And I really feel like that he's actually doing that now with this EP. It's the culmination of all of his different sounds. And it's really just, you know, what I'm going to hear in Enzo tracks, I'm sure I'm going to be hearing it at some point soon if I go see some people playing future bass or trap. You're going to know right. It's an Enzo track, right? And I think that is the point where he wanted to get to as an artist. And I think that this EP is solidifying it, you know, in people's minds saying, hey, this type of sound, this is an Enzo track. This is Enzo's song.
Yeah. Wow. That is really well said. This is an Enzo song. That is so well said.
It is. I don't know any other sounds like it, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. Totally, bro. Totally. And, you know, Multiverse, just an incredible, incredible way to start off this track. But then Let It Slide, dude, kind of kicking up the energy a little bit. It's, you know, had some vocals on it. Were Bluka and Leo Napier, were they both the vocalists on this song? Like,
yeah, I'm not entirely sure. I think so. I believe that they are.
Yeah.
You know, but it's, again, it's showing that he can also work with vocalists too, right? Like, if you look at how...
Yes.
Almost like this is a... In a way, it's a creative but also somewhat strategic EP, right? Like, he's showing that he can work with vocalists. You know, the next song, Why, goes a little bit harder, right? So it's showing that he has that edge to him too. Multiverse has got just a, you know, it's just a cacophony of all these different sounds. Spectrum, right? Going a little bit more back towards his... older future based sound, and then ending with Hell of a Drug with Stratus. Again, it's showing that you can throw in a little bit of vocals in there, but he can mix
totally.
It up with some sounds.
That shit goes hard too.
exactly. So he's really I think this EP, again, if you look at the name of it, Multiverse, I think it's just showing all the different depths and aspects to his sound, and this is a perfect showcase of it, I think.
Alec, I mean, you know, we also got Y and Spectrum in here as well, but let me ask you, like, What would you say is your favorite song off this EP?
I would have to say Why, but are you going to say I can't choose that? Yeah, you're going to choose that too? I thought you were.
God damn it.
I thought you were.
It's all right. No, it's all right.
Okay.
No, we'll both agree. Why is a dope song, man. It's just like, there's a lot of layers to it. You know what I mean? There's a lot of layers to it, and I think it was the perfect way to kind of, you know, you got Multiverse to start it off, Let It Slide to kick up the energy, Why to just give it some beautiful kind of a melodic lull but still keeping the energy just where it needs to be, Spectrum kicking it right back up, and Hell of a Drug coming at you straight up in your face.
Yeah.
It leaves you wanting more,
really.
It really
does, man. It really does. That's a great way to put it, and... Yeah, this is awesome. This is really cool to see him starting to blow up like this.
We got to depth here for the what are we listening to section, but let's go ahead and give these ratings on these two pieces of music. So, listeners of Beyond the Beats, here on the show, we have our very own unique rating scale. You know, returning listeners, you guys already know this part, so feel free to skip ahead a little bit. And new listeners, welcome. We have a unique rating scale here on Beyond the Beats, and it's levels 1 through 5. And level 1 is, you know, the lowest level that we usually give to tracks, and level 5 is the highest. So starting from level 1, we call it one listen. It's basically where Alec and I will pick up a piece of music, and we'll talk about it, you know, but that's probably going to be the only time that we really listen to this piece, and, you know, we're encouraging you guys to at least give the track one listen. Level 2 is called background noise, and it's pretty self-explanatory, but, you know, if a song comes on in the background, you're not going to really make much of an effort to change it. You know, you don't really care if it's there. You might be doing other things, and it's whatever. It's just, it's there in the background to keep you company. Level 3 is what we call turn it up. It's when a song comes on and it propels you to grab the volume knob and crank it up, blast it out loud. And level 4 is what we call just bought tickets. It's when you hear a piece of music and it propels you to want to, you know, look up the tour dates for an artist that you were listening to and try to find out when they're coming to your city next, because you just got to hear them live. You just got to hear more. And level 5 is speechless. It's when you hear a piece of music and it's just you and the tune, and that's all that matters. Everything else fades away. So just to reiterate real quick, level 1 is one listen. Level 2 is background noise. Level 3 is turn it up. Level 4 is just bought tickets. And level 5 is speechless. Alec Prieto.
Yes, sir.
Let's start off with Enzo's Multiverse EP, the artist that you had featured as an artist that we're watching. What did you think of this? What is your rating? Give me your thoughts.
So, I'm going to give it I just bought tickets, level 4 out of 5.
Very nice. Yeah,
I mean, this was just... I was actually pretty surprised by... I believe this is his debut EP.
Yep, it is.
I was very, very pleasantly surprised by this. This was a mature EP, if you know what I'm saying. Like, this was...
Oh, yeah.
This was a mature EP. The songs could work together. The songs showcased the full breadth and range that Enzo has as an artist. This was an EP that didn't sound like it was someone's first EP, right? Like, this was...
Right.
This sounded like someone who's a lot more solidified than he is. And he's quickly establishing himself, and very quickly, I might add. So that just shows the maturity comes out through this EP. And that's why I'm giving it a Just Bought Tickets, because if he's around, I'm definitely going. I could say that much.
I love the passion that you're showing for Enzo. For real, this right there with you, bro. This is a Just Bought Tickets. Easily a Just Bought Tickets for me, man. I would totally go and buy... and pay money to go see him live. Like, you're so right, dude. It's his first EP, but it doesn't sound like it's his first EP. That is the perfect way to put it. I think his attention to detail, I think he's very nitpicky about that, and you could definitely tell in this EP and the music that he puts out. So 150% with you on that one, dude. Just Bought Tickets for me on the Enzo Multiverse EP. Let's move into the Skrillex and Boys Noize song that they did with Ty Dolla $ign, Midnight Hour. Alec, what are your thoughts?
My man, I really, really enjoyed this track. Like you, I was a little bit hesitant at first when I saw this was, you know, going to be another upcoming track and collab between Skrillex, yeah, Boys Noize, and Ty Dolla $ign. But I'm going to go and give it a Turn It Up, a level 3 out of 5.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Let's hear your thoughts.
So I really enjoyed it. I really liked it as a track. I don't know if it's necessarily something that's going to push it over to the edge for that level 4 rating that Just Bought Tickets, right? It's a track that I'm definitely going to turn up in the car, but it's not something I think, you know, if I was screwing around with a DJ set, it's not something I'll always just throw in there, right? Like, I feel like I have to. But it's definitely a song that... I don't know how to describe it, because I don't want to come off too harsh. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to come off being too harsh with it. But for me, it wasn't something where it's like, if I heard this song in a vacuum of other songs, right, I would have to go see Skrillex and Boys Noize. It wouldn't be... Or either one of them. This isn't a song that would make me kind of want to go and do that. Does that make any sense?
That totally makes sense, because that's exactly how I'm thinking about it as well. In a vacuum, this song would not be a Just Bought Tickets for me. I'm having a hard time right now rating this song.
It is a hard one.
I know the creativity. I know the capability of Skrillex and Boys Noize. And, you know, Ty Dolla $ign, I was really into his music a couple years ago, and he kind of fell off for me a little bit of a lull. But hearing him back on this track with Midnight Hour, I gotta say, I'm pretty impressed with him, man. I'm not gonna lie.
Wow. Wait, words?
Oh, yeah.
What's going on? Wait, you're very inconsistent, I tell you that. You're incredibly inconsistent with your words.
No. Maybe the lyrics for EDM music is just getting better. Maybe I'm just kind of opening up to it. I don't know. But I'm going to have to agree with you, dude. This is going to be a turn it up for me, just because in a vacuum, this song would be a turn it up for me. It's a good song. If it comes on, I'm going to sing along to it. I'm going to get hyped up for the drop. I'm going to put my hands up when it drops. But it's not like, if I heard it, I would have been like, oh my God, yo, when are we going to go see, you know, Skrillex and Boys Noize and Ty Dolla $ign live? Like, this is such a dank song. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not there for me. And I would totally agree with you on that. But I know very well the capability of Skrillex and Boys Noize. So, I mean, you already know how much of a fan I am of both of them. So, man, I'm getting so hyped up for Dog Blood Set today. But, dude, great pieces of music. And I got to say, man, I'm just so happy for Enzo. It's just so cool to see how much he's risen up, you know, in the scene.
It is, man. It's awesome to see it. This is why we do it, right? I mean, it's just totally super, super, super cool to see.
Totally, brother. Totally agreed. But guys, we're moving into it. You already know it's our favorite section. It's the artist that we're watching. Okay?
Hell yeah.
There we go. This is the part of the show where Alec and I pick an artist each that is on the rise, similar to how Enzo was on the rise in one of our earlier episodes. But now we're picking two new artists that are on the rise, absolutely killing it in the game. But you know what? Maybe they don't have as much of a following as they deserve. So we're trying to get them out there, trying to get them in front of your faces that you need to go check out. Alec, please start us off, man, because let me tell you, dude, listening to your artists as I was on the way to record the podcast, you know, feeling a little bit tired, but, you know, wanting to get the energy up, you know, for the podcast recording, and also having to go to the last day of Izu. This guy brought the fucking energy, man. Tell me about him.
Love it. So the guy I'm going to be talking about this week is Talker. He's a Talker. Nope, but that's his actual name.
Talker. It's spelled T.
I hate him. If he talks in his songs, I hate him already.
He never talks. He never talks. You know what?
I know. I'm messing around.
You know why? Because he gets straight down to the dirty D and B beats. So, listeners, we're going to take you on a little bit different of a drop this time. You can hear it building up. But this is a very different type of dub, of drum and bass, I should say, sorry. But you'll hear it building up in the background. I'd love to hear your thoughts about it. We're going to chat about it after. But listen to the dark and dirty sounds of Talker with his song, Cold One.
Dude, it's like
it's different, right?
It's like D&B and Rez came together and they had a baby. Yeah. And Talker came out, man. This is some crazy D&B, man. What are we calling this, Alec? Like what do we categorize Talker as?
Yeah, so it's interesting because he has a few different types, but you know, this particular EP, the Isolation EP that this song comes from, a lot of the songs are similar in the style to this. It's called Tech Step, actually. Or other people classify it as like rolling beats, I should say. This is where it gets kind of hairy in drum and bass. There's a lot of, you know, subcategories and subgenres, and I'm just, you know, really learning this all myself too. So just from, you know, doing my research and chatting to a few people on Reddit, they would typically say that this would be tech step, which is kind of a cross between neurofunk, if you're familiar with that. So neurofunk is kind of noisier, you know, that kind of like the type of sound. Yeah. There, that's where the Rez influence that you see coming in, right? With the I really wish we had a sample instead of me just going that would have been much.
Yeah, that was perfect. I think our listeners got it.
I think they did too, but it's a combination, right, of neurofunk. It's a blend of neurofunk with what they call rolling beats, and it creates this kind of tech step type of vibe to it. But I'm glad you like it, man, because it is very different, right? So this is, I believe, a newer style of D&B, but it's something that is really starting to take off in the UK. So he's from London, or at least he's based out of North London. I see it here on his SoundCloud. He's gotten support from, you know, I mentioned them, big names like Noisia, Skeptical, My New Lang, DJ Zinc. These are big people to be supporting him this early on in his career. And I tell you what, I wanted to mention him now because he's, you know, he's kind of borderlining on being a little bit too large to be mentioning in this section because he's got 11,000 followers on SoundCloud. He's only got 1,000 on Spotify though. But I think that just shows it's because he's done some bootlegs in the past. He's done some mixes for Rinse FM. And I think that's what's boosted up his SoundCloud following. So I just had to give him a shout out now because I feel like he's going to blow up any minute now. I mean, people are just absolutely loving his stuff, and he doesn't have too many tracks out there, man, and he's already blown up. So people, you know, I think he's building his following up in the clubs. I think, you know, mixing down some pretty big clubs in London and having a bunch of D&B support for him, he's really building a following and taking Tech Step to the next level. And I hope I can introduce it to America, because I know it's something that isn't going to be on most people's radars over here.
Yeah, this is awesome. I love this so much. I can't
I'm glad you really like it. Over to you, I was a little nervous, to be honest. I wasn't sure if you were going to like it. I wasn't sure.
Don't be nervous, man. Bro, you know me. I have a very open mind when it comes to music, dude. Come on, you know me.
Except for words.
Yeah, no, this is... Yeah, except for words. No, bro, seriously, incredible pick. Talker, you are on our radar, dude. I'm so excited to see where this guy goes. But, Alec, you know, I got to talk to you about this guy.
Please do.
Somebody who only has 11 followers on SoundCloud.
Whoa.
11.
Holy crap.
The hell is going on here? Man? Jeez Louise.
We're going
real deep, dude. Yo, we're talking about Who Am I, okay? So it's Who period Am period I. Guys, you'll be able to find all these links in our show notes, so no worries about having to write that down, right? But I'm moving back into the house music for a little bit. I need to talk to you guys about this song that Who Am I did. It's called Drop the Bass, a song that he did with Dwin, D-W-I-N, an artist who's a lot bigger than Who Am I, but still, these guys teamed up for an absolutely banging track, Drop the Bass. Please take a listen to this. Let's talk about it. Drop the beat, drop the beat, beat, drop the beat.
Very nice. Welcome back to the house trend. I love it, man. This is
it's
awesome.
Good to be here.
It's great, man. I'm glad that I haven't heard you with some house music in a little while. This is awesome.
Yeah, you know me, man. I like to get a little experimental. I like to switch it up a little bit. But, you know, I stumbled across this person and I was like, man, this is a banging song. And then I looked at his profile, only 11 followers on SoundCloud. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? And what's a shame is like there's really, really not that much information on Who Am I. All I'm able to really tell you guys is that he has 11 followers on SoundCloud and that he has 11,808 monthly listeners. But I think that's because he teamed up with this guy, Dwin, on the song Drop the Bass. And Dwin is a bigger artist than Who Am I, which I think is feeding into like the monthly listener account that Who Am I is cultivating. You know what I mean? But I couldn't find an Instagram. I really couldn't find any socials or anything of the sort. I just found him on SoundCloud and a Spotify profile for Who Am I, and that's it. But Who Am I? Who are you, dude? For real. Like, I'm trying to figure out who you are, man. This is insane shit. This is such a great song. And what's awesome is that the drops are very different. I love the layer, the additional layers that you guys are using in the second drop. Seriously, that was very, very well done. So I'm hoping to get some more music from this guy. And listeners, you already know that we're going to be keeping an eye on him, especially as he releases new music. And we'll be featuring it in the show in the coming episodes as it comes out. But that's it on my end, man.
My man. What an episode, and thank you for introducing to me to Who Am I. That's
for sure,
man.
Dude.
Wow. This is an awesome episode, man. Mystery, man. We always say it every time. We always say it's an awesome episode.
We talk about good shit on here, man.
We just have great episodes every week. You know what? I'm going to say it right here, right now. Every week is going to be a great bloody episode. You best believe it. That's what it's going to be.
They get better and better, I feel like.
Every week. Until infinity. Until infinity, it will.
Absolutely, dude. Guys, thank you so much for joining us for episode 29. We had a lot of fun putting this one together, but I got to get out of here, man. I got to go to Izu, and I got to go finish out the last day and then attend the Eric Prydz after party. So keep an eye on our socials. This episode is going to come out basically after Izu finishes. So next week, we're going to talk about our full recap of Izu and my thoughts. But guys, connect with us on Instagram at btb.pod, on Twitter at podbtb. We're also on Facebook. You know, we post fun videos, fun Instagram stories of the shows and the festivals that we go to. We like to keep you guys, you know, as part of the experience, you know, enjoying it along with us. So feel free to connect with us, man, and reach out to us, you know, drop a comment, you know, in the Apple Podcast Store. Let us know what you think of the show. Feel free to DM us. We're always open to talking to our listeners and talking to new people. But that's it on my end. I got to get out of here. I'll see you guys soon. I'll talk to you
soon.
Yes,
my man. Enjoy today. Enjoy. It's going to be awesome.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. All right. Peace.